Welcome to the Faith for My Generation podcast, where our vision is to shake and shape a generation with the power of God's Word. We're on one mission, to raise up a generation of powerful believers through the relevant teaching of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm your host, AJ. Let's get into the episode. Let's do this. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we are going to read the entire passage that we're working from, we're using as a foundational text. You think about a foundation of a house, or, you know, maybe you are you think about a foundation of a sandcastle you make at the beach, or maybe some of y'all are cheerleaders. You got the gals at the bottom that are the lifters, the foundation of a pyramid of cheerleaders or something. Regardless of what it may be, the foundation is extremely important, because if the foundation is not solid, if the foundation of a relationship is not solid, if the foundation of a house is not solid, if the foundation of a church is not solid based on the Word of God, anything you build upon it will crumble. So our foundation for this multi-series, multi-week teaching is Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Starting at verse 3, and we are continuing to study the believer's position in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that he who trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Verse 13, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. That's great, Naomi. Naomi says that she just taught Ephesians 1, particularly the term predestined, to the kiddos in Bible class. That's great. That's great. Teaching out of the book of Ephesians is awesome. My daughter's name is Naomi, so that's a beautiful name. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we looked at last week how we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Blessed with every spiritual blessing, and particularly that we are seated in heavenly places. Now think about that, in heavenly places. But today, as we continue with this understanding, the believer's position in Christ, we're looking specifically at verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So I want you to think about this. The plan of redemption, it has always been in the heart of the Father. Ephesians 1 verse 4 tells us, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. The plan of redemption has always been in the heart of God. It has always been in the heart of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe it's verse 2, as the cross reference states, 1 Peter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. So we see that from the point that sin entered into the earth, there was a plan of redemption made available. Made available. Again, we started off this stream talking about foundations. And a foundation has to be strong before the foundation of the world. And understand when it says world, it's talking about this age. It's talking about specifically, let's see if I can pull that up in the Greek. Well, no, it is cosmos. It is world. It is creation. Before the foundation of creation, there was a desire in the heart of God to have a people that love and that serve Him, that have a people that are for Him. And so in the heart of the Father, there has always been a desire to have relationship and connection, but also made available a plan of redemption through Christ Jesus. Now notice what takes place. This plan of redemption, let's see how it is in the heart of the Father. We're going to go John 3 and read a couple verses in John 3. Now, John 3 has got one particular verse that's probably very familiar to many people. People that don't even believe in Jesus have probably heard this verse. But I want to read verses 14 through 17. John 3, starting at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now, Jesus is speaking here, and He's speaking to Nicodemus and those that are with Him. Nicodemus is a chief ruler. Nicodemus is a rabbi, and he is a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews. He's a high up man. He comes to Jesus at the nighttime. Why does he come at night? He doesn't necessarily want anyone seeing him with this guy named Jesus that's walking around performing powerful miracles and raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out devils, cleansing lepers. And also he's preaching and saying things that don't go with the norm. They don't fit in the flow of religion that was taking place, of dead religion. You know, Jesus never fits in with dead religion. Dead religion carries no power. Jesus, He is all powerful. He carries all power. And He gives power to the believer that changes and transforms your life. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And he says in verse 2, look, teacher, rabbi, we know you're from God. We know you're from God because no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus is making the point, look, these miracles, everything that's taking place, it is apparent. It is not the work of man. And that's what's so wonderful, so powerful about miracles. And I believe in miracles. If you believe in miracles, won't you type in the comments, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles, and I believe they're for today. I do not believe the day and age of miracles have passed. I don't believe it. I have seen miracles. I know God is the God of miracles. And I believe that that which is written in Scripture is not something that has taken place and left in the past, but it is something that is taking place and working itself out in believers. I believe in the healing power of Jesus. If you need healing in your body, you need healing. I believe even now He's healing people right now as they receive it by faith. Just as He's still saving today, He is still healing today. I believe in the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe in all of it. I am a believer, and I am not a doubter. And Nicodemus is saying that, look, unless God is with someone, these things don't happen. Miracle power, missionary evangelist T.L. Osborne said this, that miracles are the language of the gospel. Miracles prove the heart of God. And it really does. It shows forth the heart of God. Now, Jesus said, He just tells him, like, when Nicodemus comes to him and says, you know, Rabbi, we believe you're from God because you can't do these things that you're doing unless God anoints the man. And of course, Jesus, he is God, but Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he surrendered himself as who he was as God, and he walked this earth as a man. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he humbled himself into humanity. And so he's walking this earth as a man, but he's walking in this earth as a man anointed of the Holy Spirit without measure. Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. If you were to continue to read and see that Jesus, when he is baptized in water by John the Baptist, when Jesus comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit in the form or the image or the likeness, rather, of a dove comes upon Christ. That is the baptizing power of the Holy Spirit. And he was baptized without measure. Verse John 3:34 of this same chapter we're in, "For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure." He got the fullness of the Spirit of God. And that's how he moved in mighty power. Real quick on Facebook, Miss Suzanne says, "Did Nicodemus actually believe he was Jesus?" Well, at John 3, something must have changed in his heart, because if you jump all the way to John chapter 19, verse 39 says this, or verse 38, "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, went secretly for the fear of Jews and asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came by to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh, aloe, and 100 pounds. So yes, I do absolutely believe that at some point in Jesus' ministry, that Nicodemus realizes that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. It's apparent in John 3:2 that he's aware that he's a teacher of the law and he teaches with anointing and power. But I absolutely do believe over the period of Jesus' ministry, his heart turns toward Christ. Now, Jesus immediately tells Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most surely I say unto you, unless you are born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, Nicodemus is thinking up here naturally. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Not to get graphic by any means or any stretch of the imagination, but really jokingly almost, I'll say that. Ladies, you moms that have birthed children. My wife has birthed two precious children so far. Carried and labored and birthed two wonderful children of God. I don't think, as much as she loves our kids, our daughter and our son, I don't think she would ever want to have to birth them a second time. Can you imagine that? Moms, can you imagine giving birth to your child once is enough, right? But having to give birth a second time, whew, Lord, help. But that's what Nicodemus is thinking. He's saying, wait a minute, you're telling me I have to be born again? I'm an old man. Do I have to pass through my mother's womb again? I don't think that's going to work. Now notice what Jesus says, verse 5. Oftentimes, let me give you a pro tip. Oftentimes, when we as Christians are speaking the truths of God to people that have no understanding of the things of God, it may be a little confusing. Oftentimes it is confusing. So what do we do? One, we keep it simple. Two, we don't try to explain believer-level doctrines to unbelievers. And what I mean by that is, if someone isn't a believer, if they're dead in sins, just like all of us were dead in sins prior to our confession and our receiving Christ as Lord, we don't need to hear 21 steps to answered prayer. Because in the book of Isaiah, it says that sins, is it Isaiah 59? So that you understand that I'm not just spouting some off at the mouth, though some may still think I'm doing that anyway. Isaiah 59 verse 2, Verse 1, Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Now notice, but your iniquities have separated from you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So if I'm dead in sins and I'm an unbeliever, I don't need to hear 21 steps to answered prayer. Unless the first step is, which should be, you must be born again. Because sins separate the person from the Lord Almighty. And this person who is dead in sins or has sins in their life, it is keeping their prayers from being heard from God, except for the prayer of repentance. Bree, AJ Bible, that is my legal name, believe it or not. A stands for Alan, J stands for James, Bible stands for Bible. It's my legal name. It's a peculiar name, but it is. It's not like the King James Bible, the Alan James Bible. I is the AJ Bible. So notice, yes, Miss Suzanne says, until they're a believer, the Bible's a book of riddles. Very, very much so. Very much so. So Jesus is making things real simple. Verse 5, Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water, that's natural birth, and the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel at what I said to you, you must be born again. It's not this big, wild, crazy thing out here that you can't grab. You can grab it. Just as, and notice Jesus is making the separation here, but it's also giving imagery. Just like you were born as a baby from your mother's womb, you need to be born from God. You need to be rebirthed, born again, this time in the Spirit. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? In other words, these are concepts that even the Old Testament talks about. I'm reading through the book of Ezekiel right now. And here at Gospel Tabernacle, our church, we have many people reading through their Bibles from cover to cover. I've had probably half a dozen folks tell me, or close to it, they've already finished their reading for the year. And many will finish their reading by the end of the year. We presented a challenge to our entire church family. Hey, let's read the Bible through cover to cover. Use whatever you plan you want, but let's do it together. And many people are doing it. But I'm reading through the book of Ezekiel. I've got 150 chapters left. So I'm at the pace I'm doing right now is about 7 chapters a day. And it's because I'm on my second time through. But so I'm in the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, it's Old Testament. It's prophet. He's a prophet in the Old Testament. But over and over and over again, it's talking about, I, the Lord, I need to get into your heart and pull out that heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. I need to pull out that heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. Miss Sarah says, I'm on track. Hey, there you go, Miss Sarah. Keep at it. Keep at it. And that's what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. That's what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. Don't you understand these things? You're a teacher of the law. You're a teacher of the law. Didn't you catch this? Verse 11, most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify, what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So now Jesus is saying, look, you're coming to me, you're telling me you believe I'm of God, you're calling me teacher, you're calling me rabbi, and you're saying that these miracles that I'm doing, that I am doing, are of God. But what you need to come to a place, you need to level up, you need to take one more step further in your faith and put your faith in me as the Son of Man. That's what it's taking verse 13. Now Jesus begins to speak of what will take place as crucifixion. Verse 14, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There's in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 21, the people of Israel enter into murmuring and complaining and backbiting and slandering God. And because of that, judgment comes upon their doubt and unbelief. Serpents come out and begin to attack the children of Israel. Well, then they repent and they cry out to God. God tells Moses, go make a staff with a serpent around it. Lift up, raise up that staff, and anyone that looks on that serpent, they'll be saved. And Jesus is saying, just as in that time, that serpent on the staff was raised up, and anyone that looked to that serpent on that staff that was created by God is raised up, so will it be when the Son of Man is raised up. Whoever will look on Him, put their faith on Him, they'll be saved. Verse 15, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, who? The Son of Man. The Son of Man. Now notice this, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His one unique, one of a kind, born of a virgin Son, Christ, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now notice that. Verse 15 and 16 tells us, whoever. I want you to type in the comments, whoever. One word, whoever. Type in the comments, whoever. Whoever. So we understand in Ephesians 1:4, there's always been a plan of redemption. There's always been in the heart of God, because God is redemption. The Lord, He is redemption. He is Redeemer. You know, is it Job that said that? That I know my Redeemer lives. Nicole Mullins in the early 2000s wrote a song, and I know my Redeemer lives. And you know, I mean, she just sings the hound out of it, right? But it's Job that says, I know, you know, my flesh may decay and rot, but I will stand and I'll see, for I know my Redeemer lives. God is Redeemer. He is the Redeemer. That sounds a little funny when we say it that way in English, but that's, He is. You know, I am AJ, but I'm also husband to Laura. I'm also Dada to Naomi and Samuel. God is Redeemer. Redemption is not a thing that God does. It's who He is. What is redemption? Redemption literally means to purchase or to buy back something, to pay the debt for something and bring it back into one's ownership. Well, that's what God does, of course, but it's also who He is. Who He is. Who He is. He is Redeemer. So that is in the heart of God. So when sin entered into the earth, the plan for sin was already there. Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve fell that test of faith and they sin against God, notice what the Lord says. Genesis chapter 3. God says to Adam, why'd you eat? Adam blames the woman, said it was her fault. God turns to Eve, said, why'd you eat? Eve says, it wasn't my fault, it was the serpent's fault. So then, the Lord starts with the serpent, then works to the woman, then to the man. Verse 14, so Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, you're cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you'll eat dust, and all the days of your life I will put enmity, or this warfare, between you and the woman, between your seed. So it's not just this serpent, but He's speaking to Satan, who's using this serpent. Your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Well, that's referring to Jesus. He, the seed of Eve, which every person is the seed of Eve, but specifically this one person, Jesus, he'll crush your head. You may bruise his heel, the cross, but he'll crush your head, the resurrection. So you see there, from right then, when sin entered into the earth, here comes the plan of redemption. Then we see the words of Jesus. Hey Pamela, I'm so glad that you're on. It has been a long time. I'm glad that you're watching. I pray you and your family are doing well and you're blessed of the Lord. John chapter 3, let me ask you this question, because I had you type in the comments the word whoever and I didn't forget. The question is this: who is eligible to receive the gift of salvation? Who is eligible to receive the gift of salvation? Verse 15, whoever believes. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes. Whoever believes. Whoever. That's the answer. The gift of salvation, which has been paid for with the blood of Jesus, is made available to all people. So this plan of redemption is not a picking and choosing of people. God said, I'll choose you, but not you. You, but not you. You, but not you. The plan of redemption is, I have chosen a means, a system, a program, the program of salvation. I've chosen a means by which people might be saved. Now, who will believe? That is how salvation works in the earth. It's not God specifically saying, I'm going to grab you, I'll grab you, I'll grab you. No, God is not a respecter of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. Campbell says North and South America had no Jesus. Incorrect. All of the universe had Christ. He is the creator of all things. Even the creation itself bears witness of Christ Jesus. Now notice this, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but they all should come to repentance. Now notice, the Lord is not slack or lazy or complacent or slow concerning his promise, as some count slackness. So there are some people, because if you just go up a few verses before it, it is verse 3, 2 Peter 3, 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. There are some folks that will mock and make fun of the gospel. They'll make fun of you because you believe. Sometimes they hang out in the comment section. When you're doing a live stream, sometimes they hang in the comment section. And that's why I never block anyone and I never mute anyone. I say, let the scoffers scoff. If they're here, they're listening. And usually they say, oh, I got you on mute. Then how did you know to type out you had me on mute? But they're scoffers, right? And so some of these scoffers, verse 9, are saying, you keep saying God's coming back. He's not coming back. You keep saying he's come. You Christians keep talking about Jesus, that he's coming. He's not coming. You've been waiting for him for years, thousands of years. He's not coming. And verse 9 is saying, the Lord is not, he's not forgotten his promise. He's not lazy. He's not sitting in his recliner sleeping. Rather, he's long-suffering towards us. Now, long-suffering is a type of patience. Patience. Think about it. Patience. You can be, I'm going to have to shut the stream down. Dinosaur Jesus is the handle on TikTok. No profile picture. Yeah, he's not coming. Well, that's what it took. It took an anonymous account on a social media platform to tell me he's not coming. That's it. I give up my faith in Christ. Following Jesus for many years, an anonymous account with no profile picture has finally brought me to the end of my faith. I'm just kidding. Anyway, patience. You can have patience with a system. You can have patience with a thing. You can have patience with yourself. Long-suffering is a type of patience. Long-suffering specifically is patience with people. So the Bible's telling us that God is patient specifically toward you and me. Toward you and me. Why is he patient? Well, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's waiting. He's giving more time so that people can hear the gospel and believe. That's why the Lord's not yet returned. He wants more people to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. You might say, well, that's just one time. No, look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Well, actually, we've already saw John 3. Whoever believes. 2 Peter 3. He doesn't want anyone to perish. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. I want you to type in the comments, three letters, one word, type this, all. Type it in capital. Capitalize it so people know you're serious. Type it in all caps, all, A-L-L. Wherever you're watching from, if you're watching on the replay, say out loud, all. God wants all. Look at the comments blowing up on TikTok. God wants all people to be saved. Not some, not a few, not here or there, all. He wants all to be saved. You think about it. If you were to purchase something, if you were to purchase a service, let's say this. Let's say you were going to, the week of Thanksgiving, Sunday after, so the 19th of November, got done preaching at church. We had Christmas play practice, and then we headed out. My family and I headed up to Charlotte, and we stayed at the Great Wolf Lodge. You ever been in the Great Wolf Lodge? It's a lot of fun. And so my daughter's going on three months or something like that, 3 years old. And my son's 4 months old, at that time 3 months old. So we got 3 year old and a 3 month old, and me and my wife. And we went and stayed at the Great Wolf Lodge for a couple days. And we went to, we had so much fun playing in the water parks and everything. My daughter just loved it. We all just, every night, zonked out. We just played in the water and had so much fun, and it was just a great time. So we were there. So can you imagine this huge water park, resort type thing? Well, let's say that you are like feeling extra generous and you decide, you know what, I'm just going to rent the whole place out. And anybody can come that wants to come. And you just rented the whole place out for the day. Just this huge water park, right? That's the one I'm thinking of because that's where I went to. And I'm going to rent out this huge water park. And I'm just going to make it available for anyone to come. Would you want one person to come? Or would you want as many people possible to come? Remember, you paid the price and you rented the whole thing. Regardless of whether one or 10 million people come, you paid the same price. How many people would you want to come? How many people would you want to come? If you gave of yourself to do something, to provide something, would you want just one person to receive it? Or would you want as many people as possible? You know, there's this story on Instagram. The handle is Revival Press. Go check them out on Instagram. I think it's Revival Press. And they've been putting up these AI videos that they create based on different testimonies. But there's this story of, oh gosh, what is it? Moravians, that's who it is. I don't have to look it up. Moravians, thank you, Lord. There's this story of these two Moravians who are Christians and they feel called into evangelism. And they hear that there's this island that is essentially owned by one man. He's a slave owner, has several thousand slaves. He basically runs the whole island. I think it was cotton or sugar cane, one of the things he's producing. They hear about it. He is a well-known, extremely well-known slave owner and atheist. openly speaks against God. And I think this is like roughly like 1700s type era type. Don't get me exact on all these dates. I'm trying to do my best from memory. But I do know these two Moravians, when they hear that, they say, you know what, we want to go there and preach the gospel because there's thousands and thousands of people that are enslaved under this wicked man's rule, and he hates the things of God. So we know there's no teaching of the word of God there, and there's many souls that can be saved. How can we get there? Well, they devise this plan. They decide to sell themselves into his slavery. He's coming to the mainland to purchase slaves. They put themselves up on the auctioning block. He buys them. Doesn't realize what's going on. And when he pays the money, the money's given to them, even though now they've sold themselves into slavery. They take that money and they purchase a ticket, because when he finds it out, he's like, oh, no. So they use the money that they use for selling themselves into his slavery. They take that money and purchase their own ticket to go to that place, to give themselves for the rest of their lives into slavery under this man's hand, so that they might preach the gospel to everyone that's living there under his dominion. And as they're leaving, this is what the story says, as they're leaving, they shout out to their Moravian brothers and sisters that, of course, weeping, they say, we'll never see them again. You know, they're crying. They love them, but they see them. They've decided to pay this price for Jesus. As their boat's, you know, floating off, they shout back out to the harbor where their friends are, may the Lamb receive the reward of his suffering. May the Lamb receive the reward of his suffering. That should be the heart cry of every Christian and every believer. May the Lamb receive the reward of his suffering. We want as many people to come to Christ as possible. We want as many, go all out for Jesus. If you're a believer and you're watching and listening today, I cannot tell you, I cannot impression upon you or beg of you, make sure you're working for Jesus. The gospel has an expiration date. When Christ comes back, this whole program of the gospel, it's over. There is a certain amount of time allotted that only the Father knows. We have to be busy. We have to go hard for winning people to Christ and go all out, because Jesus died for all. The Lord wants all. The Lord wants all to come to a saving knowledge of Him. And it's up to you and me to tell them of the things of God. It's up to you and I to share this truth of the gospel. Now, as we finish up, notice Ephesians chapter 1 says this, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, notice this. As we finish up, this is the last thought I'm going to give you today. The believer's position in Christ is one of holiness. I want you to type in the comments, holy. One word, four letters, holy. H-O-L-Y. Type that in the comments, holy. You and I, we have been given redemption. We have been chosen to be redeemed. There's a process for redemption that has been chosen from before the foundation of the world. It's been made available. God wants all to be saved. And when we are saved, we are washed clean for His purposes, for His glory, and for our benefit and our blessing. Notice this, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that He, the Lord Jesus, might sanctify, set apart, and cleanse her, and this analogy is referring to the church, with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that the church should be holy and without blemish. So, not only has salvation been provided, but in and through salvation, you and I are washed clean. We are empowered to live holy by the Word and by the Holy Spirit, and we are to be without blemish. We are to be holy and clean, without spot or wrinkle. Spot, having no spot, that refers to outward things. So spotting with sin, right? Just like you have a stain on your clothes, no, we wash that away. Wrinkle has to do with the inward thing. So no, we are cleansed outwardly and inwardly. New heart, new way of life. New heart, new renewed mind through the washing of the water of the Word. Cleansed and a new way of life. And so what is Christ's desire? A glorious church. A pure church. A holy church. And it's not a system of works, though faith without works is dead. It's not just a you do this, you don't do that. It's a heart level change. Look, you can try to live up to rules this and that. And I look, as believers, we live holy. We live with godly conduct that represents Christ. But it's not a check-off list of do's and don'ts. It's a heart change. When your heart gets changed, then your life changes. And it is but by the blood of Christ that takes place. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 says this, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh," referring to the Old Testament, through their type of sacrifice that would wash clean the sins of people for a time. Verse 14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot," without blemish, without sin, "to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." It is by the blood of Christ that was freely shed on the hill of Calvary at the cross, your cross, my cross, that we receive a power, a might, a cleansing, a spiritual work that washes us clean from dead works so that we can serve the living God. Notice that. The blood of Jesus washes us clean from dead works, sinful works, so that we can serve a living God. Hey, I want to make sure that before we jump off, I want to pray with you. I want to give you an opportunity. If you're watching and listening, we got a great group of people watching and listening today. So thankful for everyone that's here on the stream, or if you're listening to the replay or watching the replay. I want to give you an opportunity. I started off the stream letting people know that just last Thursday when we were doing this, we had five precious people notify us that they prayed the prayer of salvation and they received Jesus as Lord. And when they did that, something miraculous happened. The Bible tells us that when you come to Christ, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That means every shameful, sinful, wrong, terrible thing that you've done, that I did, when we come to Christ, we're washed clean of it. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that God chooses not to remember those things anymore. But he washes us clean. He makes us brand new. All of us, spirit, soul, and body, has been made new unto God with his life flowing in us. And we have been cleansed from dead works to serve a living God. If you're watching and you're listening and you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 tells us that today is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, not any other time, but right now salvation is being made available to you. Salvation is being made available to you. John 3:18, we saw it. We're already condemned because of our sins. Salvation, the gospel, has been presented to you now. Will you believe and be saved? That's the question. Will you believe and be saved? We're all in that sea of sin sinking. The life raft has been thrown out. That life preserver, Christ, has been thrown out. Will you latch onto it so that you might be saved? If you're watching and at some point in time you walked away from God, I'm not going to argue with the Holy Spirit. You're convicted in your heart. You're thinking, you know what? I used to live for the Lord, but I'm not now. And I want to get right with God. I want to have my heart purified and cleansed once again. Now's the time to do it, right now. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. And by faith, when you pray this prayer, something supernatural, not that I said will happen, God said will happen, that you'll be made into a brand new creation. You'll be washed clean. you'll be forgiven of your sins, and you'll be given the life of God. If you're ready to pray that prayer, let's pray. Pray with me. Repeat this prayer by faith unto God. Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins. I ask for forgiveness, for I believe that Jesus is the risen Son of God. I confess He is Lord. I confess He is my Lord. Thank you for sending your Son to die on my cross for my sins to fill my grave, so that when He was raised from the dead, I too would be raised from the dead and made alive in Christ. By your power, by your might, I'll live for you all the days of my life, bringing you honor and glory, growing closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today as a prayer of salvation, or today on this live stream, you prayed the prayer and you received Jesus as Lord and Savior, or you prayed the prayer as a prayer of rededication unto the Lord, and you did it today, you know, not you got saved 17 years ago and you're still walking with the Lord, but today on the live stream, you prayed that prayer of salvation or of rededication, please, Facebook, YouTube, X, click on the link that's now in the comment section. TikTok family, go to my link bio, click on the link tree. The very first button, because it's the most important, says, I just got saved. Click on that link. If you'll fill out that form, we here at Gospel Tabernacle will send you completely free a study guide that my pastor, Pastor Leon, wrote. It is a 12 or 13 lessons. And we have a playlist for most of those lessons on our YouTube channel that we did a few years back. You take that study guide and you take your Bible and you work through that study guide. And over the course of a couple months working through that study guide, it's built for one lesson per week. When you get done with it, you'll be a very strong, very knowledgeable Christian. And that's what we want to do. We want to partner with you so that you don't just pray a prayer of salvation and receive Jesus and, okay, see you later. No, we want to partner with you on your path of discipleship. So if you fill out that form, we'll richly bless you. Bear just said, I just got saved. Praise God, Bear. Praise God for you. And it's interesting already. Hey, Jennifer, glad to have you over there on Facebook. That's praise God for you, Bear. God bless you. And it doesn't matter what the folks say in the comment section. How do you know something's working? Because there's people standing around trying to deter you from it. I mean, we got people in the comment section already trying to mock and make fun. That lets you know that there's power on the Word of God. Who else? I've never seen it. It's so amazing. Anytime I get on here and stream, and not just me, other people streaming and doing stuff, without fail, you have people come out of the woodwork and hang around for 40, 50 minutes copying and pasting the same comment over and over. I don't mute them. I don't block them. I enjoy that they're there. But like, think about it. Is your time not more valuable? Or is it something about the message of Jesus that is convicting your heart so strongly that you can't stand it, but you also can't leave? Hey, I'm glad that you're here as well. Let me pray for you. Everyone that's watching and listening, make sure that you follow, subscribe, whatever platform you're using. We will be back live next Thursday, 11 a.m., part 3 of this message. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every single person that's watching and listening, whether it's the live or the replay. Lord, there's some people watching and listening by their own admission. They don't believe in you. This is what I ask, Father. Soften their hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. And as you said in Matthew chapter 9, Lord, I ask of you, send forth laborers to the harvest, for it is white and ready to be harvested. Lord, send laborers across their path that they will continually and constantly hear the saving knowledge, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too might hear and believe. Lord, we thank you that we've planted seeds today, and we believe though some plant, some water, you'll bring the increase. We're believing to see hard hearts softened. Lord, I pray for every person that's watching and listening that is a believer. Lord, we thank you that you strengthen us. And we come to you, Lord, and we say we are strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Lord, we thank you that you've set apart this day that you've created for us for blessing, for increase, and for power. Let us see your kingdom, your church, be built in us, in our churches, in our cities, and in our nations. In Jesus' name, if that's your prayer, won't you type amen, put some emoji hands in the comment section, put some fire in the comment section. If that's your prayer, I know it's mine. And we've got precious, wonderful people. Praise God. Hallelujah. As I'm doing this, I'm getting email notifications of people that are sending in their salvation rededication forms that they're filling out. And I understand, look, there's people that pray the prayer that don't fill out the form. These are just people that went that extra step so that they can receive a study help. And we want to. We want to be a blessing. But you think about that. That is so good. You know, it's funny. It's like the comment, especially on the TikTok family side, which I love TikTok. It's fun. But you got people, you know, trolling. And then as they're trolling, it's like, salvation, salvation. So, hey, the gospel marches on. The good news of Jesus cannot be stopped. And as long as you and I are in Christ, neither can we, because we have the victory in him. I'm so thankful for you. I'll make sure that I'm back next Thursday at 11 a.m. I pray that you'll be back with me. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you then. God bless you.
Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Remember, every Monday I've got a brand new wake-up call for you, and every Thursday I've got a brand new episode right here on Faith for My Generation podcast. And remember, we are the faithful.